I next met with Dr. Paul Richardson from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, and to begin, he put in perspective recent research developments in multiple myeloma.
As you know, this has been such a dynamic field. We have no less than 21 FDA approvals in the last 14 years, which is unprecedented in any heme malignancy for sure. In fact, possibly even across the board. But that being said, the advances have, of course, resulted in a wonderful array of therapeutic options for providers to offer to their patients. I think the important point is, though, to sort of try and help frame that and understand how some of these new advances are going to impact on practice. So as a sort of couple of background points, Neil, I think, as we all know, multiple myeloma is clearly not just one disease. There is dramatic heterogeneity across the spectrum of the illness. But what's also very important to appreciate is that there is heterogeneity within the patient, not just between the patients. And in that context, there is this real need to sort of risk stratify and understand, as we individualize therapy with the array of new agents that we have, what we need to think about in terms of guiding principles. And I think what's nice to show, or hopefully helpful to share with MDs, is this, that essentially over time in the natural history of the disease in any one patient, the tempo of illness can change. So you have this clonal heterogeneity on the one hand, but also this ability of the disease to ebb and flow. And that's an incredibly important principle to understand as you manage your patient longitudinally with the illness. And our understanding of this biological process has become far more sophisticated over the last decade or so. I guess from a practical point of view, what it tells us is that it's important to throw a big net around this disease. And when treatment is appropriate, it needs to be principled on the idea that you have backbone drugs that constitute your framework, and then you rationally add to it with appropriate other drugs that may be specific in certain settings or advantageous in the sense that they are essentially mutationally or genetically agnostic.
Could I just clarify one point? I was interested by what you were saying about clonal heterogeneity. At any given point in time, let's say the newly diagnosed patients, is there evidence that there's different clones in the same patient?
Absolutely. Yes, there is. And the evidence for that has emerged over the last 5 or 6 years or so, with some really nice work from a variety of investigators illustrating this point. And I think, as you know, we sequence patients over time as patients are characterized when they participate in clinical trials in, you know, initial treatment studies followed by studies in the relapse setting, Neil, we've been able to start to understand this better. I think what's also very important is that, as we know, myeloma is truly a malignancy that's influenced by its microenvironment. And I think that's both the bone marrow milieu, but beyond that, it's cortical bone, the extramedullary compartment, and very importantly is our understanding now of how the immune system really impacts upon this, and that immune suppression in myeloma patients is ubiquitous. We've understood this for years because patients are so vulnerable to infection, but the implications in terms of tumor biology are huge. So it's kind of that spectrum of illness that people need to understand. But yes, the level of evidence is high, I think, Neil.